Hello, hello. Welcome to In Honor of the Olympics Beginning Demarcation.
Oh.
I mean, it's subtle, but this came from one of our listeners. So
Thank you for that. I was thinking Korean Peninsula or something.
Well, we did the call to our listeners. They gave us some good ones. I thought this one was extra witty. Given where we are, just waiting for the sister to arrive in Seoul, Kim Jong Un is sending his sister to represent.
She'll be dead in a month.
Family, right? With the two hands on her cheeks.
Remember what happened to your brother?
Seriously, lots to talk about. A lot has happened. I wanted to start off, since you're the global economics expert here.
Yes, indeed.
So I just want to understand the narrative of what's happening. So we had the State of the Union address, and the President of the United States talks about a booming stock market and how up, up, up. And then seemingly a few days later, we're very, very low. From the political side of me, I thought, well, of course, this is why no president ever really talks about the stock market, because he doesn't really have any control over it. But I guess bigger picture maybe is, what is happening with the stock market right now from an economics point of view, not from a political point of view?
All right. So before we get into that, let's do this one. Are other countries also in an upswing? Yes. Does President Trump run those countries? No. QED, he can't be responsible for the upswing in our market if all markets simultaneously are going up. Now, here's the thing. Why are all markets simultaneously going up? I think it's because everybody's buying ETFs, exchange-traded funds, exchange-traded notes, automated programming, algorithmic programming, all this sort of stuff. Because if you look at sort of the compound rate of growth in the stock market over the past 18 months, it's insane. It just goes straight up. And a lot of this has to do with these robot programs. Basically, they're programmed in certain ways to buy in dips. They can't hold cash, and they just have a momentum behind them that pushes them up.
Okay.
Now, what that does is a thing called the VIX index, a volatility futures index, right?
Okay.
So what does that do? It's the measure of fear in the market. So basically, like, how much does it cost to buy an option, the right to buy or sell something in the future? And if it costs a lot, fear is high. And if it costs very little, fear is low. So basically, option traders have been doing what they call buying and selling volatility. And volatility is at an all-time low in terms of price. Now, you could actually bet against this or bet on this with a thing called betting on the VIX with options. And there's a thing called an inverse option on the VIX where you were basically betting that this trend would continue. So here's the thing. The trend is your friend. Things continue till they don't. So guess what happened? People started to pile on this because, hey, next month will be like last month because it was the same the next month. And then they got utterly spanked. So two of these funds that basically sell these things have went bust. And that was, it's called the VIX shakeout. And that's what's happened. Now, this is the first shock of what I think are quite a few to come. And the big one happens with ETFs because their share of the market is approaching 50% of all trades. So if the same thing that happens with the VIX happens with ETFs in general, So that brings us to Trump, right? He owns the upside. Is he going to own the downside? I don't think so.
He's trying to run away from it. So this sounds like a great romance novel.
For Valentine's Day, buy your partner VIX.
VIX. Sounds amazing. But
have you seen your VIX today?
This is going to be a bestseller, I'm sure. But it's so interesting in terms of that this is a global trend that the president seemingly doesn't recognize as a global trend.
Right. So, I mean, it's kind of stabilized. I mean, it went up and up and up, and it went, and it went a little bit up. So, you know, we've still got a week or so to see how this one shakes out. You know, things can go up, down, and very often they kind of stay the same. So we'll need to see. But this is the future, in a sense. You know, this is baked into the cake for where this goes.
Well, I think in celebration of either the up or down of the economy, I'm not sure, or the stock market, the president wants to throw a military parade.
This is awesome.
He's told the Pentagon to start planning.
This is great. So basically, it's sort of like, I am in control of the stock market, right? And now what we're going to do is we're going to have a big military parade. So it's kind of weird. It's like, I'm not really looking forward to living in the Soviet Union.
Yeah, it's going to be long
breadlines. It's got shades of that, you know. So maybe he'll start wearing big glasses and El Presidente salutes the troops. And he himself is a five-time draft dodger?
I think
Wow, that's going to be an interesting one. You know, that's sort of like me standing up as greatest lover of all time. There's not much evidence for that
claim. Fabio hair.
Yeah, exactly. There really isn't much evidence for that one.
But this is all lining up to your point for the El Presidente moment that he called those who didn't clap for him at the State of the Union treasonous. He's called the Democrats all sorts of other, you know, they should be like, you know, their citizenship taken away, un-American. It goes on and on and on. So he's setting himself up for this moment.
No, absolutely. I mean, you know, for a long time, time, I was able to sort of see the funny side of many of these things. But treason is a serious thing, which is punishable by death. And if you're standing in front of an audience and you just say, you know, some people think, yeah, I don't know, treasonous could be, you don't just throw that word around.
Yes, yeah.
That's serious stuff, right? So, you know, words have consequences. And, you know, when you're rather a random word generator, they can have rather random consequences.
Well, I was thinking a lot about, because of course the news is about the Nunes memo and the Democratic, I don't know if it's exactly the response to the Nunes memo. And of course, the Mueller investigation, they want to, it's unclear to me, they want to schedule interviews with the president. The president's lawyers are saying no. I mean, all of this seems to be building to something. And yet, is it going to be a smoking gun? It doesn't seem like it.
Yeah.
But I think this is the part about the treasonous thing, is that it's going to, this case is going to rise or fall on very small pieces of evidence. It isn't going to be some big gotcha moment. And I think that it's interesting to think about the Mueller case really building from the bottom up, like really getting the low-level guy, the Papadopoulos guy, and then moving it up. And thinking about, has the president already sunk himself with this kind of talk, just the blabbering talk that, mm-hmm. you know, they can bring and use as evidence?
So, as you know, I've been somewhat skeptical on this because my line, as you know, has been,
like,
it's a bunch of bozos from Queens. If the combined arms of the CIA, FBI, and the NSA can't bring down these guys after 18 months, maybe there's no there there. Now, what's the Mueller investigation doing then? If it's not actually showing collusion with Russia, is it basically kind of pushing things in a certain way so that things that happened after that, when he's actually in power, start to become obstruction of justice, right?
Yeah.
Then you really are going after someone on a different pretext, right? Now, that could all play out, right? But I've actually got, of course, a slightly different perspective on this. So the way this has played out, why would you basically try and throw the FBI under a bus? Why would you try and politicize this investigation?
Yes. Yeah.
It signals that maybe Mueller has got something or something else. And here's the something else. Maybe it's the following. Shortly before all this happened, Mueller wanted the president to testify under oath. So imagine putting that guy in a room for 3 hours and just asking him to talk. God knows what will come out of
danger.
His mouth, right? And it's all under oath. And that's when words have consequences.
Yeah.
So maybe part of this is, let's just get that off the table. Let's make sure he never has to testify by any means necessary, because that could just be a random outcome generator nobody wants to deal with in the administration.
Well, and I thought it was also interesting because it's been a pretty tight investigation. I mean, we've heard about the arrests or the deals as they happened. It hasn't been a real rumor-based sort of investigation. So I thought it was interesting that this even came out about Trump's lawyers trying to tell him not to testify, because, and I know this is all, you know, hearsay and rumor and stuff now too, but I mean, that in and of itself, I thought was an interesting piece to just see which direction, to try to guess which or predict which direction the Mueller investigation is actually going. It looks like the chancellor has a government in Berlin.
Yeah.
I mean,
at last we have the government.
Politics makes strange bedfellows.
Yeah, I mean, they've been working on this for a while. So the closer they got to an agreement with the Social Democrats, the more the Social Democrats' poll numbers went down. So they've actually managed to get into the teen figures now, which is truly catastrophic for what was one of the great parties of European centre-left politics. So, you know, they've destroyed the party in the process. They still have to get it approved by the party members. So there's a very strong chance they might go 9, right? But assuming it goes through, it's very interesting. What they held out for, Martin's played an interesting game here. German political power is concentrated in the finance ministry, not the economics ministry. And that was run for a long time by Schäuble, the finance minister, who was Mr. Austerity. If you're tightening the belts, right? Regardless. And now you've given it to the Social Democrats, whose agenda is more Europe, more transfers, which is deeply unpopular with Merkel's own party and with the majority of the German population.
Oh, yeah.
However, it is exactly what Europe needs if it is to survive. So it's going to be, if he gets through, if he gets past the vote and they form a government, it's going to be really interesting to see how this works out. For the mainstream centre-left and centre-right in Germany and in France, this is their Hail Mary pass moment. It really is. Mm-hmm. And if it works out the way that the one that was at the end of the Super Bowl did, not good.
So hang on, just stay on this for just a second. So the new finance minister is possibly outward-looking as opposed to inward-looking and wanting to keep everything in...
Or at least, you know, what do you do with Europe? Well, we'll have no transfers to the lazy southerners, right? The narrative changes, which is we need to share risk. We need to have common bonds. We need to have a finance minister with a budget for all of Europe. We need to be able to deal with economic shocks rather than just kicking the Greeks one more more time.
Right, right. So staying in Europe for just a second, I just saw a headline that of the EU saying that they are only going to do trade deals with those that were part of the Paris Climate Agreement, which excludes the US, surprisingly enough. It's an interesting way to think about the EU actually like taking a stand on something.
And, absolutely.
And we don't really, rarely, or we don't often hear of the EU taking such a strong position.
Absolutely. Well, you know, one way to think about this is, you know, the transatlantic trade agreement that failed, that both Senator Clinton disavowed at the last minute and Trump scuppered the minute he came in. This was designed to make the two big trading blocks of the world, the two richest parts of the world, the United States and the EU, trade a little bit more. And what one of them has now done is to turn around and say, no, I'm sorry, we're going to treat you like Burundi if you basically do this, right? All of the sort of preferential access, all the low tariffs, all the stuff that you've negotiated. If you're going to basically do this on climate, because we're serious about this stuff, we actually think it's real, mm-hmm. we believe in evidence of hundreds of thousands of research papers, it's not a conspiracy, right? Then basically, if you're on that side of the fence, we're not going to play with you. Mm-hmm. And apparently the European Commission has come out and said, yep, this is true, this is the way we're going to play it. So this is really hardball from the EU, and we hardly ever see that.
Well, and it makes the US again the only, or one of the only Western industrialized nations to that we are still debating whether it's a hoax or not. And meanwhile, the rest of the world has accepted, fully accepted, and moving on to actually try to see what
we
they
spoke
can do.
About this before. I mean, you can see part of where this comes from in terms of the interest behind it. So countries like India and China have gone through rapid industrialization, particularly China, and the air quality, water quality, yes, environmental quality is absolutely terrible. So they have every incentive to change that. Yeah. The people who can help them do this is the German engineering and scientific sector. So if we basically say, if you come and join us, fine. If you don't, you're on your own. Our attention's going east anyway, because that's where the demographics and the growth are. So if you want to be just angry old white people screaming off there about why everything's a hoax, knock yourself out. The rest of the world's going to get on with it.
But in this regard, I mean, the US should be, I mean, angry old people in Miami Beach are not going to have a condo anymore in like 10 years.
And it's
going
to become as a, well, actually about 25, okay. But it's going to come as a great shock to their descendants who they're going to leave it to, thinking it's a $5 million asset, and it's going to be half underwater.
Exactly. And if you think about real estate in Florida, if half of Florida isn't there in 25 years, I mean, that's a big hit.
Don't tell me about it. I've got a house in Naples.
Oh, Blythe, no more. Visit it while you can.
But you see, this is it. Maybe I actually don't believe that the whole thing is actually real, and I'm doing a long short on the real estate market, so you can never tell.
So talking about long shots, that we're sitting here in Providence thinking about the loss the Patriots suffered to the Philadelphia Eagles. So I used to like Tom Brady. I'm a big University of Michigan fan, but I hate Tom Brady because it's just too much. Like he only eats like, you know, plants grown in particular parts of the garden or something.
Oh, really? Is he one of those? Oh,
he doesn't eat like
he's
shade.
He's got this diet book,
yes,
right? But it's about like
it
alkaline foods and
yes,
all.
Yes, he only drinks like lemon. Anyway.
So, it's not true, but if you like the person saying it, you can believe it's true.
So I'm probably the minority here at the table, but was happy to see Tom Brady actually lose something.
Shame on you for living on in the Northeast and saying this. This is absolutely ridiculous.
But of course, who cares about the game? What happened during the halftime show?
I know. Where
the backlash against Justin Timberlake.
Like, things you can't script. The backlash against Justin Timberlake. I mean, it's one of those great lines that came out in the Iraq war when there was a senator after Abu Ghraib who was on the ropes about all these pictures coming out.
Oh,
and,
yes.
And he came out with the best line ever, which was, I'm outraged about the outrage. Well, this is this one where I'm kind of outraged about the outrage, because at what point in human history did like the graduate of Disney, who's been around for 30 years, who does singing and dancing and seems like a kind of a nice bloke, become the vector of people's political fantasies and agendas?
Let me just list his
he's meant to be like responsible. You don't share my politics. You're a bad person, right? You're responsible for the death of Janet Jackson's career. What?
Well, he had other offenses. He had an ugly outfit.
True.
He had no, the Prince duet did not go over very well, and no reunion with his former boy band NSYNC. These are severe.
The best one, of course, was like when he ran up the stairs at the end singing, which, first of all, great cardio, right? But he ran up the stairs singing, and then he's talking to that kid who takes the selfie.
Yes, the selfie
and
kid.
The best one from Selfie Kid was, I just met Conor McGregor. But anyway, I'm outraged about Justin. I'm outraged about the outrage directed to you as outrage, because in no way are you responsible for the things that you're meant to be responsible for. If we are, we're basically saying that Katy Perry is a leading political activist, at which point sell everything. And I like her music.
And one last fun note, which really tickled me, was the Grammys. And of course, the Grammys had their moment. I saw a hashtag of Grammys so old because U2 was on three different times. And
combined age, like 190.
Yes, and Twitter seemed to think they had no one else to like award the trophies except for U2. So I just thought that was one thing.
So I was walking around in the cold the other day. And I have this black sort of raincoat I got in Germany. Uh-huh. It's waterproof. And I had on a black beanie hat. And if you can't see me, but I have a goatee. And I walked into this environment where I knew some people. And somebody I barely knew walked up to me and said, "Are you hoping that somebody in U2 dies and you get the job?" It's like, I guess, 50-year-old white guy in a beanie. You know, there we go.
Oh, time's up.
It's the xylophone from hell. Satan's xylophone is with us.
So just a reminder to our listeners, this is our new gimmick for the next few times for us to have a fun noise play.
Yes, and
play
that was Satan's xylophone. Could you imagine listening to that for all eternity? That actually would be hell.
Well, thank you, everybody. We will be back in a couple of weeks with some more items to discuss.
Yes, including whatever happened to Kimmy old Twinkie's sister.
Yeah. Yes, can't wait.
Bye.
And listeners, don't forget to send us a title for our next show.